though they weren't going to make it in 2023, but we're grateful for God's grace. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Can we give God a round of applause? Thank you, Jesus. Man, I didn't know what 2023 was going to hold for me, but to see what God has done in my life, I'm just so grateful. I got a daughter this year, and she is like the best thing ever. And my wife is Rebecca. She's sitting at the back with our daughter. We got brought on to eldership. There's a whole lot of things that I can thank God for, and I'm sure of this, that you guys also have so many things that you can thank God for. And so I don't know about you, but for me, something that I'm so aware of as I'm going into 2024 is looking back at the faithfulness of God and knowing that I can trust Him with what's next. Amen? Imagine this. Imagine you didn't have anything to look forward to, though. That might be a bit sad, eh? Like if there was nothing coming, there was nothing to look forward to, nothing that you're aiming towards, nothing that you're building up towards. How, like, average would that be, or bad? Okay, that's a bit somber. Would that be bad, guys? Yeah, okay, sweet. But something that I really want to share today or this morning is we've been going through this series called Jesus Saves, and the slide will come up, but today what we are looking at is we're looking towards the future. We're looking towards Jesus as our hope. He's the one we're looking forward to. And I'm going to be explaining a lot. I'm going to be looking at scriptures and we're going to be going through it. But I'm going to share with you why this is good news. Why we have something that's even more exciting than 2024 or 25 or 26 or any other day to come. There's something that we have that we can look forward to. And this is the fact that Jesus is our hope. As I said, we've been going through this series. It's called Jesus Saves, and we've been going through the tenses of salvation, just like we have past tense, present tense, and future tense. And we've been looking at salvation just in those tenses. We started off with Jesus, the one who justifies us. Our justification, the past tense. Jesus is the one who saves us. He's the one who has set us free from sin. What His death on the cross meant is that now I don't need to go through the punishment that I deserve. But He took it all. And then now I get to walk in a new future once I've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. That's my past tense. That's before where I am now, but that was, I'd gone through so many difficult things, or I'd gone through frustrations, or perhaps my life wasn't what I'd wanted it. But then Jesus stepped in and He saved me. And that's Jesus who justifies us. We say justifies us because if God were a judge and He stands there and here's a trial for your life, the evidence is clear, it's on a big screen perhaps, and the lawyer is looking at you and saying it's not looking good. But then Jesus steps in and He takes on the punishment, and then God the Father says, not guilty. Jesus is the one who justifies us. The second part, the present tense, as David preached about last week, was the fact that Jesus is our sanctifier. He's the one who cleanses us. I don't know about you guys, but when I got saved, it wasn't like, cool, I raised my hand, I believed in Jesus, I prayed a prayer where I committed my sin to Him, and He forgave me, and then all of a sudden my life was turned around. I no longer sin anymore, actually. That was a joke, guys. I still do sin. But Jesus is the one who's cleansing us. When we commit ourselves to Him, He says, don't worry, I've taken all the punishment that belonged to you, but now I'm going to make you different. Now the outcome of your life will look different because of the fact that I'm going to be walking with you. I'm going to be changing your ways. The things that perhaps you found hard to stop, I'm going to help you to stop. The things that you've never done before, like perhaps preaching on this platform, I'm going to help you get there, so that your message can impact other people. Jesus is the one who's busy working with us and making us more and more like Him. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I came to know Jesus, I just wanted to be like Him. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know His ways. I didn't want to live in the old things or the things that had perhaps messed up my life before. But now he gets to walk with us and he's changing us. And that's the present tense. If you've put your faith in Jesus, he's currently working in you. He's working in you. He's wanting to correct some things. He's wanting to encourage you. He's wanting to take you on a life of adventure. A roller coaster ride better than that of Gold Reef City or I don't know what's the others. There's one in Cape Town. What's that one? Ratanga Junction. Better than that. But then now the future tense. What is it that we get to look forward to? And that's Jesus, our hope. We're going to be reading from Romans 5. And I'm going to take you through the tenses once more. And then we're going to look forward to what we get to look forward to. Romans 1 verse 11 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Remember, that's the past tense. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Not in which we stood, in which we stand. That's the present tense. We have access to God's peace. We have access to God's grace. It's what we're standing in right now. That is the present tense. That is God sanctifying us. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the future tense. Verse 4, or rather verse 3 continues. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, again this justification, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. Do you get what that's saying? That's saying that maybe for a good person you'd lay your life down. Maybe for like someone who you think is good, you'd I'd sacrifice myself. But here's the love. It says this, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore now we have been justified by his blood, much more will we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved in his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. God doesn't only save us, he doesn't only change us, but he gives us something to look forward to. I want to share a short story with you, and then I'm going to make a couple of points just so that we can elaborate on what we get to look forward to. So, I'm not the best planner. Is there anyone else like me? Okay, I'm not the best planner, especially when it comes to special occasions. So my wife will testify to this. She married me still, and I'm so grateful to God she's still with me. But when it comes to special occasions, I'm not the best planner. But this Christmas, I think I won. So here's what happened. I was telling my wife, I'm so looking forward to Christmas. She was like, yeah, I know. And yeah, I mean, why are you so excited? So what had happened with us was that we were fortunate enough to get blessed with some money from family that are overseas. And so, like, when we got the money, we decided, okay, this is what we're going to get as Christmas gifts from our overseas family. So looking around, get some shoes, or remember getting some stuff. And then I had to wrap my own Christmas gift. And so it's like, okay, cool. And so then put it under the tree, and then it's, like, I kept saying to my wife, I'm looking forward to Christmas. And she goes, like, why? You know what you're going to get. And so I'm like, no, I'm excited. What she didn't know was that I'd planned to get her gift secretly. And so there's this bag that she's been wanting. So I get the bag. When I got the bag, I didn't take it home. I instead gave it to my brother-in-law. And I said to him, please wrap this and keep it at your house, because we were spending Christmas there. So did that. So now I'm already chuffed. I'm like, I won, baby. I planned this out. I'm more excited for her to get her gift because I know what I'm getting, but she doesn't know that I got this gift for her. So I'm excited. I'm telling her, yo, I'm looking forward to Christmas. And so then afterwards, secretly, we get some more money. But this time, I didn't let her know that we had got more money as a Christmas gift. So now, again, cool. David and I were planning a trip down to Maritzburg to go visit one of our friends for his birthday. And then we decided, cool, let's just stop off and with this money that we got blessed with, let's get the gifts secretly. So Becky, my wife's name is Rebecca. I call her Becky as a term of endearment. So Becky is like, has been wanting these shoes for a while. She showed me these shoes. She's like, I'm so keen. She went to the Adidas store. She's been looking at different Adidas stores. She's been calling around. She's like, I've been looking for these shoes. I can't find them. She finally finds them. They don't have a size. So she's like, shucks, but every time I want something, I just, you know, I wait too long and then we can't get it or something. Anyway, so I find out that there's a store that has these shoes, but it's all the way in Centurion. So now when we get this money, myself and David decide, okay, let's go get this. So he was getting gifts for his kids and his wife, and I was getting for Becky. So I get this thing. And so again, I give it to David. I say, wrap it up and then keep it there. So now I'm sitting there like a few days before Christmas, and I'm so eager for Christmas because Becky doesn't know that I've got this gift for her. And so again, I'm telling her, yo, love, I'm looking forward to Christmas, eh? And she goes, but you know what you're going to get? And I'm like, yeah, but still, man, yo, like, yeah, I'll actually be able to get, like, use the stuff that I got. Anyway, Christmas morning comes, we're opening gifts, and Becky gets this gift. And she, like, is like, whoa, what's this? So she opens it. First, she finds the bag that I got for her. And she's like, surprised. When did you get this gift? Because she knows that I'm not good at planning for the future. But she was surprised. So she's like, how? I didn't even know you got the gift. So I'm like, yes, win number one. Let's go. Anyway, then she gets another box. And there's the shoes in her size. Got it for her. She was shook. She was like, what? And so she's so excited because now she's finally got the shoes that she wanted. In my mind, win number two, baby. So I was like so happy. The point I'm making with this story is that there's something of an excitement that comes when you're looking forward to something and you know what's going to take place. Like you're looking forward to it. Sometimes the excitement is there because of what you hope for. Sometimes as you're looking forward to something, you're excited because you're like, I know it's going to be good. I just don't know how good it's going to be. Like Becky that morning. I was excited looking forward to it because I knew what I was going to get. Becky was excited, or I don't know if she was as excited as I am. But she, when she got there, it was even better than what she had expected. This year is our hope when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the future that we are talking about. When we got saved, there's something that takes place is that our mortal bodies, although we seem to be in the very same places, our soul got saved from a kingdom of darkness and got put into a kingdom of light. We get to look forward to not being just average body that gets hurt or gets old, or like I was running yesterday and then this morning woke up and I needed to stretch my hamstrings and I'm like, I'm knocking on 30's door, what's going on? Although things are deteriorating for me now, listen, I'm not comparing with anyone else, okay? So be secure in where you're at. But although things are deteriorating here, this is not the end, friends. We have something that is so much more valuable that we get to look forward to. And the first point that I want to make is that this thing that we get to look forward to, just looking at it, is an eternal place with our Maker. God in heaven, the one who holds everything in the palm of his hands, the one who knits together babies in their mother's womb. I'm so blown away by the miracle of childbirth. Having become a dad, like Becky's tummy was flat, then all of a sudden it wasn't, and then all of a sudden a baby comes out of it. What? Guys, childbirth is a miracle. It's a miracle. And then you see scriptures like in Psalm 139, I think it is, where it says that he knits us together in our mother's womb. God knits in the secret place. He forms us and fashions us. This is who we're going to get to be with forever. Some people have said that heaven is like an eternal church service. I don't know about you guys, but then I wouldn't be looking forward to that. I mean, I love being together with you guys, and I love singing, and I love hearing the word, but I don't know if that's all that heaven's going to be. I think it's going to be much more than that. Probably a bit more like the Garden of Eden, where we get to eat fruit, we get to celebrate, get to just name animals. I don't know. But maybe the more important thing is that we get to walk with God, our Maker, the one who's we've put our trust in, the one who's formed us and fashioned us. This thing that we get to look forward to is also the fact that our bodies will not decay anymore. We get to look forward to the fact that we will be energized eternally. Our justification is the thing that guarantees our glorification. It's because you are saved. It's because you've put your faith in Jesus that you get to look forward to that. If you didn't put your faith in Jesus, then you don't get to look forward to that. John 4 says this. It says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says that. We don't have anything to look forward to unless we have said, Father, forgive us. Paul makes this statement, and he makes it quite a few times here in this Romans passage. He says, we've been justified by faith, and we have peace through God in Jesus. Again, in verse 2, he says, and we rejoice in the hope of glory because of that justification. Verse 9, he goes on, and he says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from wrath? In fact, rather, how much more will we be saved from the wrath of God? Verse 10, while we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we shall be saved by his life. It's because of the fact that Jesus died that we have this thing that we get to look forward to. Friends, let me just encourage you, just as Zoe and Misha had done this cool demonstration for the kids, it's not your good works that's going to get you to look forward to that place. It's the simple fact that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And until that day, Lord, as I look forward to that day, help me to walk this journey better. Whether it be by resolution or not, Father, help me to walk this journey better because I'm looking forward to that day. The promise was sealed in justification, but now I look forward to the hope. And Father, help me through this current process. John 10, verse 27 to 30 says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's Jesus speaking. He's saying he knows you. He knows you. Secondly, the point I want to make is that our eternal hope conquers the current suffering. And don't get me wrong, there is current suffering. If there's anybody here who's saying that I'm not suffering, I can guarantee you there's perhaps some way or another that even the people that you know are going through suffering. Suffering is not something that can be ignored. And perhaps it's on different scales for each person. Perhaps one is struggling with, I don't know, some things that are unseen, like mental health, or perhaps difficulty with regards to emotions. Or perhaps other people are struggling with very real circumstantial external things, like trying to make ends meet, trying to provide for a family. Or perhaps people are suffering with the fact that they've lost people. Guys, we've lost people in 2023. People have gone on to be with Jesus. Or perhaps people have gone and we don't know if they're going to be with Jesus. But suffering is something that we encounter almost inevitably as a result of our human form. Because you are human, suffering is almost inevitable. But the hope that we have conquers this suffering. It conquers it. What we have to look forward to is way better than anything that you can experience now, and it supersedes the pain of today. what we have to look forward to conquers it all. This is what Scripture says of Jesus. It says that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Guys, the cross is probably one of the most gruesome things a human body can go through. It is incredibly painful. It is excruciating. That's where the word excruciating comes from. It's from crucifixion. But Jesus endures it because of the joy set before him. Friends, we have a hope. We have a joy that we get to look forward to. And this thing that we're going through now, I'm going to endure it because I know what I'm looking forward to. And my third and final point is this. Our eternal future in Christ is full of glory. Ephesians 2 says this. It says from verse 7, it says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Immeasurable. Immeasurable kindness. What does that even look like? That's what we get to look forward to. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says this. We were saved to an inheritance that is imperishable, meaning it doesn't perish, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And verse 7, towards the end of verse 7 says this, praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. What we get to look forward to, unfading, undefiled, meaning it's not bad, it's not something that you're going to be ashamed to have, but it doesn't decay, it's something that will last forever, it's something that we can look forward to. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, but our citizenship is heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Colossians 3 verse 4, when Christ who is life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Just as in the story, I'd prepared something and Becky didn't see it. She didn't hear it, she didn't know of it. But I can guarantee you it's far better than what I'd prepared for Becky. This hope that we have is going to be so much better than what we can even imagine. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 41 says this, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. Basically, it's talking about this illuminance, the shiningness. Oh, shiningness, that's not even a word, but I'll use it. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised to life is imperishable. That's what we get to look forward to when we place our faith in Jesus. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. What is sown in a natural body will be raised in a spiritual body. Verse 51 says this, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised, imperishable, no longer in this weak and frail form. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that people would probably most fear or dread as time goes on is the day when we know more. But friends, that won't happen. We will be with God, living eternally. John 3:16 says, "For whosoever believes in me will not die, but will have eternal life." Eternal life. Eternal life. I want to read one more passage from Revelations. Then I'm going to trust God that we would respond to this message. Revelations 21 says this. Says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And the one seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' He also said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" God is a poet, eh? That was incredible. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give a spring of water of life without payment." Without payment. "The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But then again, for this current time, we're faced with the reality. It says this: "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Friends, the reality of that hope is so good, because the reality of not having that hope is so real. There's some of us who don't have that hope. We haven't put our faith in Jesus. We haven't received this justification. And the scripture is clear. I'm not trying to preach hell and brimstone, but that's the reality of scripture, is that without Jesus, that's what we get to look forward to. A lake of fire and sulfur. Just burning your hand on the side of the braai, that's not fun. I can only imagine a lake of fire and sulfur. Friends, we look forward to that hope with eagerness because we know what we were saved from. That's what makes that so special as well. Is that not only did we go through this current life and we get to go through it with God, but that we also know that when we get there, we're not going to a place that we're not going to like, but we're going to go there and there'll be no pain, no suffering, no more tears in our eyes. He will take it all away. I'd like the band to come up on stage as we respond. John 6, verse 40 says this. Jesus says this. He says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." As that verse is read, as that verse is on the screen now, I'd just like us to take a moment. I think the reality is some of us are living here looking forward to that day, because we've put our faith in Jesus and we're looking forward to that day when we raise to life, when heaven is our new home, when the imperishable replaces the perishable. But I'm sure that there's some of us who are perhaps feeling a bit anxious because we're not sure if we're going to be there. I want to encourage you, it's not by your works, but it's by the fact that you've put your faith in Jesus. Just as we've laid out this whole, in this Jesus series, we've laid out the whole picture. Justification, sanctification, and then looking forward to glorification. I'm trusting that For those who are unsure, there's an opportunity for you this morning. You can put your faith in Jesus. It doesn't cost you a thing. Something that I want to reiterate with this place that we look forward to is it goes on in between the passages that I've read. It talks about this place of heaven, and it talks about its streets of gold. It talks about it where the gates are made of diamonds and sapphire and a whole lot of beautiful precious stones. And I'm just aware of the fact that what we would have deemed precious here on earth, God used as building materials in heaven. No one's excited when they find tar or cement or but that's what God uses when he's building his new kingdom, and he's preparing that place for us. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, and if I can ask you to bow your heads. If you're not sure if you can look forward to that place where the streets are made of gold, where the pain and suffering is taken away, where you're not sure about actually what 2024 looks like, or tomorrow, or the day after, or the day after, and you've got nothing that you're looking forward to. Jesus says these words. He says, whoever believes in me will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. 1 John 1 verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Psalm 116 says, I called on the Lord, and he heard my cries for help, and he saved me. Psalm 50 says that I will call on the Lord in the day of my deepest need, and he hears me and he saves me. And then it says, I will glorify him. If you hear and you're not sure whether or not you can look forward to that day, I'd like that you can reach out your hand to Jesus, because he's reaching out his hand to you. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you feel comfortable, feel free to raise your hand. Or if you feel more comfortable, feel free to come to the front so we can have someone who can pray this prayer with you. That we know we can look forward to that hope together. That I know I will be with all of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then I'm going to ask that we can pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, I recognize my failings and I give them over to you. You have dealt with them on the cross, and I receive your mercy. Forgive me for the things I've done wrong, and lead me into the way of life that you would have for me. Father, I love you. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.